We're beginning a new sermon series today called Wandering in the Wilderness. Over the next 8 weeks, we will study and explore the book of Numbers. Now, this part of the Bible doesn't always get as much attention from us Protestants as other parts do, but I think it contains a great deal of wisdom that can help us navigate many of the challenges that we are facing right now. And there's a great deal of information and knowledge that we can take from this book and apply to our lives. So today we will start with the first chapter. I'll read the first couple of verses. So I invite you to open your Bibles at home or simply follow along as I read these words. I'll read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1. And this is what the scripture says. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take a census of the whole congregation of Israelites, in their clans, by ancestral houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and upward, everyone in Israel able to go to war. You and Aaron shall enroll them, company by company. A man from each tribe shall be with you, each man the head of his ancestral house. Amen. Now the book of Numbers begins with Israel in its final days at Mount Sinai. They had been there for about a year. God had freed them from their slavery in Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, where the Lord revealed himself to them and began forming them into a covenant people. They were beginning to learn the basics of living a holy life. But God didn't intend for Israel to stay on the mountain. He wanted them to move forward in faith by living out their calling. Now, the Lord revealed this calling to them when they first arrived at Mount Sinai, commanding them to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation, as it's stated in Exodus chapter 19. To live out this calling, the people of Israel were required to move from Mount Sinai to the promised land of Canaan. But before they started this journey, God wanted to organize his people, and that process required a census. Now, Moses was given the responsibility of counting each and every Israelite. It was a tedious job, and apparently one census wasn't enough. A second census was taken of the Levites in chapter 3, and a third census is recorded in chapter 26. And all of this counting is what led to the title of this book. But Numbers is not the only title. In the Hebrew Bible, the book is known as In the Wilderness, which, of course, describes the setting of the events. This book tells the story of Israel traveling through the wilderness as they move toward their freedom in the promised land. And yet, wilderness is about more than just geography. It speaks to a spiritual place where different situations and hardships test the Israelites. And in the process, their sin and their unfaithfulness to God is revealed. And at the same time, God's plan for their lives becomes even clearer. Now, I think it is significant that the stories in the book of Numbers were actually written at a time when the people of Israel were wandering around a different wilderness. Now, scholars believe that most of these stories were put down on paper during and right after the exile in Babylon. This was a time when Israel was struggling to make sense of all the pain and all the hardships they had endured. They had been ripped away from their homes and they lost everything. Living in Babylon was truly a wilderness experience for them. Now, this image of the wilderness, I think, is a powerful metaphor to describe life right now. For the last 6 months, we've been wandering through our own wilderness, a wilderness created by the COVID pandemic. In March, we left a world we knew. And since then, life has been turned upside down. It's been a truly bewildering experience. And I am curious, how has this year, how has 2020 been a wilderness experience for you? If you're watching us on Facebook, I invite you to share your answer in the chat feature. I'd love to hear what you've gone through this year. Now, we desperately want to get to the other side of this pandemic. We want to reach our promised land where our health and our jobs and our safety and our freedom are no longer at risk. We're tired of the uncertainty. We're tired of not having a normal life. Now, we've been stuck in this wilderness for a long time. Of course, not as long as the Israelites who wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. So what can we learn from their experience that might help us as we journey through this wilderness? Well, our first lesson comes from the census. Taking a census doesn't happen very often in Scripture, but Scripture is clear that God needs to be a part of the process. When God's left out, a dark cloud hangs over it all. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we read of a census that King David took of Israel. And he did this on his own, which wasn't a good idea. The Bible describes it as something instigated by Satan. Rather than relying on God, David tried to exert his own authority by making a claim on the lives of his people. He was trying to seize what really belongs to God. Caesar Augustus also conducted a census at the time of Jesus' birth. He was making a claim on all the people of the world. He wanted everyone to see him as the Lord. But this ultimately led to a conflict with the true king. And that conflict came to a head when Jesus was crucified. Now, I bring up these examples because taking a census in the Bible involves a ruler making a claim on the lives of his people. The census that's described in Numbers is about God making a claim on the people of Israel. They were chosen for a special purpose. They were given a vocation. They were called to live out God's intentions for our world. Now, God intended his people to be a community whose ways stand in contrast to the nations around them, which is made clear in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, where the Lord says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you from the other peoples to be mine." Israel tried to live out their unique calling through the way they conducted their business, their politics, and their worship. In every area of life, God expected his people to live in ways different from that of the world. In fact, this message is communicated throughout the Bible. The prophet Isaiah, for example, called on Israel to shine. In Isaiah chapter 60, it says, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Your people shall be righteous, so that I might be glorified." And let's not forget that Jesus called his followers to be a light and a city on a hill. And 1 Peter 2:9 says that the church is called to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. God ordered Moses to take a census so that the people of Israel could get organized in a way that would enable them to live out their God-given calling. Now, in the process, boundaries were put into place. Boundaries were established between Israel and other nations. Boundaries between God's holy presence and the rest of Israel. Boundaries between the wilderness and the promised land. Boundaries to divide tribal territories. Boundaries between acceptable and unacceptable behavior. I think God established these boundaries because the Lord knew that the people of Israel were deeply flawed individuals who would cave into sin if they didn't have boundaries. And even with those boundaries, they still caved into sin, which just shows us how human they really were. In particular, we see that they complained a lot. They complained about their fortunes. They complained about a lack of food and water. They complained about their leaders. They complained that life in the wilderness was so much worse than the life they had in Egypt as slaves. Now, when we look underneath those complaints, we see that the people of Israel did not trust God. They didn't trust that God would provide for their needs as they wandered through the wilderness. But are we really any different? Do we trust God enough to follow the Lord in this time of wilderness? Or do we prefer to go on our own? Now, part of trusting God means that we are open to receive whatever God offers. It means that we're open to learn from this experience. So what can we learn from the wilderness that we're in? I think it's critical that we take the time to reflect on this so that we can grow as a people, so that we can grow stronger as a church. Now, we can use this time of wilderness to prepare ourselves for more effective ministry once we get on the other side of this pandemic. You know, how do you travel for a trip? Do you pack your suitcase with the right kinds of clothes for your destination? Do you pack up your medications and your insurance cards? Do you check on your car to see if it needs any maintenance? Do you make arrangements for someone to take care of your pet or water your lawn or collect your mail? Do your neighbors know how to get in touch with you in case there's an emergency? Travel preparations involve an endless number of details. It takes a lot of thought and planning. And the longer a trip lasts, the more extensive the planning. This was the case for Israel as they prepared to leave Mount Sinai. And what they needed to pack more than anything else was trust. They would need to trust that God would provide for their needs as they journey to the promised land. They would need to trust that God would equip them to live out their calling. Now, their journey into the wilderness started well, but things went downhill quickly because the people did not trust God. They didn't trust that God would take care of them. Now, we should learn from their example. And so as we wander through our own wilderness, we must learn to trust God and to avoid the missteps and the mistakes that plagued the Israelites. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul used the story of Israel's journey through the wilderness as an example for his readers. And he writes, "These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us." So let's learn from Israel's mistake of not trusting God. Now, we can try to rely on ourselves, but that will only get us so far. Trusting God, however, will enable us to successfully navigate our way through this wilderness. Trusting God will help us as a church discern the right course of action. Trusting God will prepare us for a bright future. Now, these are unsettling times, and it can be difficult to figure out how we should move forward. But when we place our trust in God, we quickly see that we're not alone. God is with us every step of the way. This is the promise that we find in the book of Numbers. We can trust God. We can trust God because the Lord sees our struggles and hears our cries for help. We can trust God because the Lord keeps encouraging us and building us up. We can trust God because the Lord keeps feeding us as we wander through our wilderness. And as we learn to trust God, we'll be able to live into our calling, a calling that's rooted in blessing other people. And we can bless other people by creating a better world than the one that we've left behind. I know there will be setbacks along the way. There will be discouragement. But when we follow the Lord, we will find ourselves on the right path. It's true that we're stuck in a wilderness right now, but we can make it through by trusting in God. I invite you to join me in prayer. Would you bow your heads? Oh God, we thank you for being present to us. You are with us always. And as we journey through this wilderness, may we learn to trust you and to be faithful to the calling that you've placed on our lives. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen.